I guess the difference between this morning and this evening is some are still looking for their eggs. It was a good morning to have family visiting a number of you, and we appreciated getting to meet them, some for the first time, and a number of them getting to meet them again on Connie and I's part. It's good to see visitors with us this evening. We certainly pray that the things we're going to talk about this evening will be profitable to you. I must admit that the things I want to talk to you tonight about are things that are important for us as Christians in particular, and it's important for us as a congregation. It's something that is certainly required of by God, and something that at times we either take for granted or sometimes we just forget our responsibilities in the area of hospitality. Now, when we talk about hospitality, I think that we can really see it and its importance in a number of passages we're going to allude to over the next few minutes, and some that we'll look at very specifically. And I would suggest to you, whether you thought of it or not, even Jesus' words in Matthew the 25th chapter really lend themselves to the idea of hospitality. If you'll remember in that particular chapter, and if you'd like to take a moment and turn there, I'm not going to read it for us tonight, but as you look through those verses, the last half of it in particular, starting at verse 34, what you really see is that God holds us accountable for how we interact with one another. In fact, what you note is that God says our soul salvation could be in the balance as to whether or not we're really taking care of each other's needs. And when we think about the matter of hospitality, we need to understand that it is something that has far-reaching ramifications, not only in our individual lives, but in the lives of our congregation and our relationships with one another. And it is my sincere belief that a congregation whose members truly involve themselves in hospitality is a congregation that's just going to be much stronger. Connie and I have helped one another as we have prepared some of our lessons for the Wednesday night study. But I didn't ask her what she was going to do last Wednesday, and I didn't tell her what I was going to preach on tonight until this morning. As we were coming to the building, the long drive over, I told her that tonight I was going to talk about hospitality. And she said, well, we talked about that Wednesday night. So you'll get a double dose, or you'll get a fuller sense of what's involved in the matter of hospitality. It's important that we understand what hospitality is. There is a very simple definition that is given by Strong's, for example, when we think of it as a lover of strangers. Now, one of the difficulties of thinking of it simply as a lover of strangers is that sometimes we use the technical definition from Strong's as an excuse for not practicing hospitality in its broadest sense. We don't get to say, well, because Strong's talks about being a lover of strangers, then sure enough, when strangers are around, then I'll do the things you're going to be talking about tonight, Joe, in relation to my responsibility toward them. But as far as the idea of taking that idea of lovers of strangers and bringing it over to my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm just not sure I see the connection. I would hope that at the end of the lesson, it will dovetail other lessons I've presented and preachers in the past here have presented to show that we do have a responsibility as far as hospitality is concerned toward one another. One of the things that we want to look at a passage in particular is one that you ladies at least talked about to some degree, I guess, on Wednesday night, and that's what Jesus said in Luke the 14th chapter. In verses 12, 13, and 14, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, Do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. The point Jesus was wanting to emphasize was not that we don't have a responsibility toward those we know, but the motive of what we do, for why we do what we do, is not that we might get something in return, but rather it is that we might do something for others, whether they can ever repay or not. So as we begin to examine this particular question of hospitality, we start right off with understanding very clearly that there's never a scorecard in hospitality. There is never a sense in which you keep track, either here or at home on a piece of paper, of all the homes that you've been invited to and all the homes you haven't been invited to. If you want to do that, you got to remember something. Somebody else may be keeping a scorecard too, of whether or not you've invited them to your home. So what we have to understand is that this is a personal responsibility. Each and every one of us is obligated to perform as children of God. When we think also about this matter, we ask ourselves, whose responsibility is it? There are a couple of answers that at times seems very quick to find an answer to, and can also be very quick to then dismiss our own personal responsibilities. Because usually, if you ask who is responsible for hospitality, in the minds of many it's, well, we know about elders. If you go to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, of good behavior, and here it comes, hospitable, able to teach. Shepherds need to be hospitable. The pastors of a congregation need to be hospitable. The reason for it, I think, is going to play out in the things we're going to talk about in the next few moments, but it's also going to be those very things that will be applicable to those of us who are not pastors, those of us who will never be overseers and elders within the congregation. The idea of the hospitable also would tell us that those men and their wives are individuals who are involved in the lives of others and care about the lives of others, who can be counted upon to know about the lives of others. And therefore, the responsibility of having that sense of hospitality, that qualification, if you will, of being hospitable. It's important for us then to understand and recognize just how important it is in the lives of those who are going to serve us one day in this capacity. As we've been studying in the auditorium class, in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 10 through 13, it says, "Be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Remember what we've talked about as we entered into chapter 12 of Romans. The first 11 chapters were talking about a lot of biblical doctrine, a lot of what I call theology. And beginning at chapter 12 and verse 1, we start to see the practical application within our lives as children of God. And so we find here in verse 13 that the Apostle Paul wants us to understand that if we're going to understand what it means to be a servant of Christ, that transformed individual, then we're going to understand that we have a responsibility as each individual to seek out and have opportunity to be hospitable to others. In fact, the idea of given means that there is that willingness on our part to be hospitable. Peter says in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 8 and 9, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. This really goes back kind of to the point Jesus was making in Luke, the 14th chapter. And that is that we are instructed to have the right attitude about carrying out the hospitality. We're to have the right attitude about carrying out every facet of our Christianity. And what seems strange to me at times is that we can understand very clearly having the right attitude in certain aspects of service to God, and sometimes in the right attitude in service to one another, and yet the idea of hospitality just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Or the grumbling prevents us from carrying out that which God requires of us to be doing. In either case, whether it is the ignoring of it or the doing of it with a bad attitude, neither one's going to be pleasing to God. And we know that to be true in every other aspect of service to Him, don't we? We recognize that if we are obedient to God without having the right attitude in that obedience, we have failed in what Jesus commanded or spoke of in our service to God in John, the 4th chapter. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth, having the right attitude and being obedient to the will of God. So, Peter is making the point, be obedient to the Word of God by being hospitable and have the right attitude. Another passage to consider for just a moment is over in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the first two verses. Again, let brotherly love continue. It's kind of interesting in many of these passages, as we're talking about this whole idea of the entertainment of others, the connection is made with brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for in so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I think that's a reference to some events that happened in the Old Testament times, particularly with Abraham, and there were other instances as well. The last passage I want to talk about in this area for a moment is quite simply what is said there in John, 3 John, the 5th verse. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. That's what we are to do as children of God. We are to be willing to take care of one another, and we are to be willing to take care of those who are strangers. The long and short of it is quite simply this. As children of God, we all have the responsibility of being hospitable. And so we are then asking ourselves the question, having recognized it is our obligation. It is not an option. It isn't a case of choosing three out of four things. It's an obligation. Are we then hospitable? Do we find ourselves willing to open up our relationship with others to be involved in their lives? I would suggest to you that while the word hospitality in one sense is that idea of lovers of strangers, it also is that sense of simply being willing to entertain others, and not simply for the fact of, oh, let's go have fun, but rather using that time together. And sometimes it can be a matter of fun, sometimes it can be on a very serious note, but it is to obtain the objectives of closer relationships, of obedience to the will of God. We need to recognize then that we have to make sure that if we are going to show that hospitality, it has to be of such a nature that people understand that responsibility and wholeheartedly engage in it. Why are we sometimes not hospitable? There are times when it is because individuals have set standards that are just out of this world to understand what hospitality is about. But sometimes it gets down more personally to who we are and what we're about. Now, I'm going to use some examples here, and it is by no means a matter of what I perceive anybody in the congregation to have as a hindrance to the idea of being hospitable. It may be that most of what I talk about, or all of what I talk about, will not be reflective of anybody within the congregation. So let's press on, and everybody take it for the value that it'll have within your life. Some people aren't hospitable because they're lazy. I can tell you from firsthand experience that sometimes it's a lot of work to show hospitality to others. It takes effort. It takes setting aside the time to make preparation to be hospitable to others. And there are individuals who just are not wanting to do it. If that is a problem, then we have to understand that that is a hindrance to us being obedient to that which we've already established as an obligation. And that is hospitality. You may say, well, I'm not one that's lazy. It's not a matter of not wanting to be bothered. In fact, maybe even using the word bothered is a wrong idea. We shouldn't even have the idea of it being a bothersome thing. For some, it's a matter of selfishness or pride. And you might wonder, how in the world does that come into play with the idea of hospitality? The selfishness can operate from a couple of different angles, and so can the pride. The selfishness might be simply the idea of not wanting to give up that which is necessary to accomplish the idea of hospitality. I'm just not willing to spend the money. Very quickly, take note of the fact that hospitality doesn't require a lot of money being spent. It might be, and we'll get to this in a little more detail in just a second, it's the next point, it might be that I'm too selfish to set aside the time to do it. There are too many things that I want to be doing that I don't want to involve other people in, because it's fulfilling what I desire. Pride might come, strangely enough, from an angle that you might not be thinking of, and that is, maybe my house isn't as good as other people's house. And therefore, I'm too proud to let someone come into my house who has a nicer house. That seems counterintuitive. Sometimes we might think it's the idea, well, I'm too proud of my house. How dare that I would ask them to come in and maybe mess things up. Now, the pride can operate in both ways, and I think maybe sometimes in conversations I've had with individuals in the past, the pride really was the idea. Well, they couched it in the sense of humility. It was the idea that they were ashamed of where they were living, and therefore they didn't want others to come into their home. You know, if we're doing the best with what we've got, and we're maintaining a cleanliness and orderliness that God expects of us as Christians, I don't believe there's a person in this congregation that would think that they're too good to come to your house or come to your apartment, come to where you're staying and living. I sincerely believe that. So I would hope that nobody would ever let that stand in their way in practicing hospitality. I've been in congregations where we've had some really poor people. And where they lived, and I don't think it's applicable to anybody here, I'm talking about elsewhere. Where they lived was far below the standards of other people within the congregation. In fact, I can think of a couple of people where it was the lowest standard in the congregation. And yet, they opened their home. They invited people in. Even the preacher. Even some of the wealthiest people in that congregation. And that's the way it should be with each and every one of us. So that pride doesn't stop us from carrying out our obligations and responsibilities before God. Paul told the Philippians in the second chapter in verse 3, he said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." Then there can be those who simply say, "I don't have enough time for it. I'm so busy making money. I'm so busy working. I'm so busy. We're involved in all these things that I just can't set aside the time." It goes back to the point of Matthew, the 24th chapter, there in verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his master made ruler over his household to give him food in due season?" We have responsibilities as servants of God to carry out the things that God expects of us regardless of other things going on within our lives. We all have the 24 hours, and I grant you that some of us, especially you who have children at home, that 24 hours goes a lot faster because you've got so many things going on. But it doesn't lessen our responsibility. We must make sure that our children do not so monopolize our time that it takes away from our Christian duties. We need to recognize the need for time and to take time. We need to recognize that it doesn't have to be something that is expensive. It doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money. I shared with you a while back the story of a young couple up in Indiana who had the preacher over during a gospel meeting after services. It wasn't a meal. They were all concerned about, "What am I going to serve?" And I kept saying, "Don't worry about serving anything." And they end up serving a second portion of popcorn. The reason it was the second portion, she burned the first portion of popcorn. But you know what? We didn't mind. And the visiting preacher didn't mind the aroma of burnt popcorn in the air as we visited. The young lady went on to be hospitable a number of times and still is practicing hospitality. So don't think of it in that regard either. We need to understand the benefits, and that's the thing that I want to think about as we conclude what we're talking about this evening with regard to the benefits. It allows us to get to know one another. It just so happens we were at Linda's house for lunch today. She didn't know I was going to preach on this, and I told her, "You sure picked a good day to invite us to lunch." So Linda's exempt from this, but we did make the point, and she said that she'd heard it before as well. In fact, she may have attributed it to Bill Hall. I'd heard it years ago, and that is quite simply this: you never really get to know anybody until they put their feet under your table, your dining room or kitchen table. You know the old idea of just breaking bread together? That's when we relax. That's when we let down a lot of our guard and just be open and honest with one another in visiting, exchanging ideas and thoughts, and just being drawn closer and closer together. And in doing so, it gives us a sense of sharing with one another. Sharing with one another in ways that will allow us to pave the way to help one another. There are a lot of times when the preacher is not the first person you want to turn to. And let me say quite frankly, while I am willing for anybody to turn to me at any time about anything they want to talk about, and if I can ever be of strength to them, there are times when I appreciate the fact that you've turned to somebody else. That may seem like a strange thing or a contradictory thing to what I just said, but there are times when you need to talk to somebody about something that you'd be embarrassed for the preacher to know. But because of hospitality with others and you've built this relationship, you can go to them and share and get spiritual advice and help deal with the problems that you have, and you find solutions you have to find solutions to. And then you're not embarrassed about sitting in the pew with the preacher knowing what your problem was. This particular preacher oftentimes forgets what was said in relation to problems. So I don't look at you and think about a problem that you might have had that you shared with me. But there have been times in my preaching career, and Benny may have had this happen as well, where individuals have come to me and said, "Look, because you know this about me, I think that you are thinking of that every time you look at me as I sit in the pew." In one case in Indiana, the person said, "And for that reason, we're leaving." And they ended up leaving because they thought I looked at her as some adulterous woman because of the adultery she committed. And I didn't. But there could be some personal thing that you need to talk to someone about, and if we have shared with each other time together to get to know each other, you're going to feel free to talk to them about those things. So hospitality has its benefit in that area. And the last point that I think is so valuable for each and every one of us, it deepens our love for each other. And that is one of the benefits that Connie and I gain from either going to someone's house or being invited to go to a place as a guest of someone, or to have someone into our house or others into our house. It helps us to connect with you at a level that runs deeper than, and this again is going to sound strange, than the level that we have in a setting such as this. This is a wonderful setting for worshiping God and drawing closer to God and one another in sweet fellowship before God and with one another. But there is also that great sense of love that we gain by time with you away from the building. And it's especially true for those of us, and there are a few of us here, not a lot, but for those of us who don't have family in the area. You're not only our spiritual family, but you become our substitute physical family as well. And like I said, we're not the only one. There are a number of you here that are in that same position. So I would say to you, be that person that allows us to develop a deeper love for you in the Lord. And let us be those people that you can have a deeper love for as well. I would suggest that may be one of the greatest benefits of hospitality that we can find as we grow as Christians. Take inventory of yourself. I would invite you as couples and as families to talk about aspects of tonight's lesson. And especially as husbands and wives, ask yourself, what can I do to have the preacher over? No, what can I do to have greater hospitality? At least one person laughed. Thank you. What can you do? There are things you can do. Connie and I ask ourselves all the time. And we try. And that's enough. I'm not going to make this about us. We all need to. We all need to accept our responsibility. We all need to take the time to be hospitable to one another, grow closer to each other. One last thought on that deeper love. If I truly develop a deeper love for you, then when problems arise, I believe those problems can get snuffed out because of the love that you have for me, or that I have for you, that without it might have gone from a small fiery problem to a forest fire of problems. So let's look for opportunities to show hospitality, to be a part of hospitality. One last thought, and then the invitation. You've got to be willing to accept hospitality as well. Because I've known of individuals who don't want to be bothered. Now, I know there are, especially as we get older, I'm starting to see it a little bit more and more as Connie ages. I keep forgetting her hearing aid's working again. Be willing to go when somebody invites you to go do something. Be willing to go to their home or whatever. If your health permits it, do so. Again, you receive the benefit, they receive the benefit, and we're doing what God commands of us. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, number 70 in the supplement. I think everybody in the audience knows the reason we offer this invitation for those who might be outside of Christ that would want to take on the responsibilities of living for Jesus, living for God. Have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. If we can do anything for you, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand.